During this Christmas season for the next 5 weeks, Dad dives into the wise men and their question, where is he? Today's sermon, Where Is He? In the message of the prophets, Dad reveals Jesus in the words spoken of God's prophets in the Old Testament.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. We're always happy when the weekends come around and we can get together with you all over the world. It's just a thrill, and we're always gathering around the throne of grace and our wonderful dear Lord Jesus. And now this is the first Sunday in December, and so we're going to be thinking all month long about the coming of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, and we'll get to that in a minute. But first of all, I want to share some of the letters, and I do that because I know that some of you are interested. People are asking questions, and maybe you have the same questions, and so we try to answer them the best we can. So we get a letter, first of all, from Early, Texas. And he says, I would love to have the brochure, Watch Me Grow. I work for a pregnancy care center, and I wanted to see what your brochure says about abortion. And so this is free and postpaid. If you write to us, if you can send a gift, that's fine. But otherwise, it's a pamphlet. And it deals with the baby, the first 9 months of that baby's life. And you would be amazed. Did you know that we have that baby has DNA at the time of conception? The time of conception. So you write in for this, say, how to grow, or just put abortion, and we'll know what you mean. I'll give the address in just a few minutes. And then we have a letter from Hall, Iowa. And this lady writes, I just watched your film again, The Heart of a Shepherd. Received your letter yesterday. Thought about it, about giving this as a gift before, but now I'm going to do it for sure. We have 9 children, and I'm going to send one of the Heart of a Shepherd to each one. And so here's this is a perfect gift for Christmas. And we send them free, and if you give us a gift, that's fine, a free will gift. The value of this is $10, but you can give whatever you want, and we'll use that to the glory of God in the proclamation of the gospel. And it's a wonderful film. It's an hour long, and it's a picture talking that children can understand it, about coming to Jesus. And that's what Christmas is all about, isn't it? And then we have a letter from Oakville, Ontario, Canada. And this lady writes, for months I've been going through hell. I was looking on my iPad, and I came across someone going to hell for preaching once saved, always saved. Every time an altar call is given, I always rededicate my life to the Lord, but I never feel accepted. I thought that somehow I wasn't saved anymore, and that Jesus didn't want me anymore. Then I saw your sermon on a pastor's prayer for his people, and now I feel better. And so here's a dear lady in Ontario, Canada, and she's having a time with it because, for one thing, she wonders about this. She says that they said if you say preacher once saved, always saved, that you go to hell. Well, we got pretty good backup for that, and that's in John chapter 10 and verse 28, where Jesus said, and that we hear his voice, we follow him. He holds us in his hand, and he says, they shall never perish. I hold them in my hand, they'll never perish. In the next verse, it says, God the Father holds the Son in his hand, and we will never perish. And so don't worry about going to hell. Just be sure that you've accepted Jesus into your life. And if you've done that, you'll have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'll see you in heaven, and we'll just rejoice in the presence of God. Then she writes, and she says she never feels accepted. And so I want to urge you, don't go by feelings. Don't think about feelings, because it's just a contract with God. He says, if you accept my Son, confess your sins to me and accept my Son, I'll give you everlasting life. In John 5:24, he, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. Right that minute. Has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. That is, you won't go into hell, but you're passed from death unto life. John 5:24. So don't go by feelings. Just go by trusting God and believing God. And then she says she didn't think that God wanted her anymore. Just read 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, where God says that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And in John 3:16, he gave his life, his precious life, to pay for our sins, that wonderful Savior. And then one other that we wanted to read to you, Hamilton, Montana. I still follow you on TV and the internet. Thanks to you, through Jesus Christ, I was reborn. All my love and prayers. And so here's a gentleman, a man, and he's written in, and he's asked Jesus to come into his heart. He's been born again, and he's on his way to heaven, and I'm going to see him in heaven. I can't hardly wait. So you write to us, get your pencil and paper ready. Then at the close of this service, I'll give you the address. And we'd love to hear from you. And if you want this but a film, you can get it, The Heart of a Shepherd, or if you want a little pamphlet on abortion. And then we have some other things that I'll share with you when we come to the end of the sermon. But we want to look at our message today. And today is the first Sunday in December. And so when we do that, I always think about Christmas. And Christmas is my favorite time of the year, I think. I have a hard time with that and Easter. But there's glorious times, and I have a lot of wonderful memories about Christmas. St. Matthew opens the second chapter of his book with these words. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And so the wise men come, and this is the first question in the New Testament. And they say, where is he? Where is he? We're searching. We want to find Jesus. So we're going to have five sermons on where is he? And they're going to be, he is in the message of the prophets. We're going to do that today. Next Sunday, he is in the Annunciation of Gabriel. In the third Sunday, we're going to look, he is in the Song of the Angels. In the fourth one, he's in the manger in Bethlehem. And the last one, he's in heaven interceding for us as a great high priest. So here it is. We're going to look at the message of the prophets. And I want to say very first of all, mark this down and don't forget it. Jesus Christ came from the bosom of the Father. Jesus Christ is no afterthought with God. Jesus Christ was in the bosom of the Father from all eternity. There never was a time that the Father didn't have the Son. There never was a time that the Father in heaven didn't have the Holy Spirit. And that's why the church, Christian church all over the world worships the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ then is God Almighty. He always existed. He always was. And we need to be careful here because Jesus Christ didn't begin at Bethlehem. Some think that was his beginning, but that's just the beginning of his earth life where he took upon himself the flesh of a human being, except it was sinless. And the Bethlehem was the beginning of that earthly walk with light, with the Lord. It was when God gave him the name Jesus. It was a time he became flesh and dwelt among us and yet had no sin. It was at the beginning of his being one of us. And it all happened in Bethlehem of Judea 2,000 years ago. But as I say, that was not the beginning of the Son of God. Of course, the Bible does teach that when we accept Jesus Christ, we become the sons and daughters of God. But be careful here, because we become the children of God in time. Jesus Christ always was a son of God. There never was a time he wasn't the son of God. We became children of God through the new birth. We were all sinners and we belonged to the devil. And we asked Jesus to come into our heart and we received him as our Savior and we became his children. John 1:12 tells us, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to those that believe on his name. The Bible teaches then that Jesus Christ is God. You and I are not God. We become the children of God, but we are surely not God. He tells that over and over. For instance, look at Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. It tells us here, the Bible tells us, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sins. Notice what God says. God sent forth his son. Doesn't say that God created his son. It said he sent his son. God sent forth his son. He always was his son before he was born. He just at birth, he takes on that form of a flesh, that our flesh, except without sin. So God sent him. God sent forth his son. Where did he send him from? He sent him from heaven. He sent him from his bosom. He sent it from his heart. When Jesus comes and he's going to be here and he comes to die for us, give us his life for us, and that he could only do it as he becomes a child, as he becomes, has that human nature, has that body. Look at Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7. Isaiah says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Don't miss that. A child is born, a son is given. That simply means that a child is born, that he was a little baby, and he took upon himself the form of a being. As a child, he's born, but as a son, he's given. He's already in existence, and God gives him to come to die for our sins. He was not born a son because he always was a son. He was given as a son. Billy Graham puts it like this. We must never lose sight of the fact that as a child he was born, and that as a son he was given. He is a child born with reference to his being born of a virgin. He is also a son given with reference to his divine nature and his being God's holy son. Or look at John's Gospel, chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and that Word stands for Jesus, Logos, that's Jesus. And so you could say, in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. The same Jesus was in the beginning with God. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, as plain as day. And when it talks about the beginning here, it means not the beginning of the gospel, and not the beginning of the earth life of Jesus, and not the beginning of time, but at the beginning of eternity, for all eternity. He is God's Holy Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. St. Paul tells us about Jesus, talks about the same thing. He says he's talking about Jesus now, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created. They're in heaven, they're in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. Colossians 1, verses 15 to 17. Jesus did not become the Son of God at his birth. He was always the Son of God, and he took upon the form of a servant, and he became his great high priest for us, and he became our servant. Remember, Paul says in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, and that ye through his poverty might become rich. And when was Jesus Christ rich? He was rich when he was in heaven, when he was at the throne of God. He never was rich here. He was rich and he became poor. That is, in heaven, before he was born, he was rich. And when he came in abject poverty. Yes, this wonderful Jesus Christ. And just remember that. I've just pointed all the way I can possibly tell you. Jesus Christ is from the bosom of God Almighty. And so then they say, where is he? So let's look at the message of the prophets. The prophets talk about that. Moses said that he would be the seed of a woman, Genesis 3, verse 15. That's the first prophecy in the whole Bible. God is talking to Adam and Eve and Satan. It is after Satan has led our first parents into sin. And God says to the trio, he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. And his hit shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. That was perfectly fulfilled, we are told, in Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5, because we're told in the fullness of time, God sent his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sins. Moses said he would be the seed of a woman, and so he was. And then the prophet Micah talks about him. He said he would be born in Bethlehem. Micah, hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born, 700 years before the Lord was born, he says, he tells us the town and the province, the city and the state in which he would be born. Listen to him. He says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that who is ruler of Israel, whose going forth has been of old from everlasting." Micah chapter 5, verse 2. That's the prophecy. He says you're going to be born in Bethlehem, Bethlehem of Judea. Just like saying you're going to be born in Aberdeen, South Dakota. There's only one Aberdeen, South Dakota. There's only one Bethlehem of Judea. And of all the places in the whole world, it's pinpointed 700 years before he's born. That's where he'll be born. And that's exactly where he was born, just like God said. Read it. Luke chapter 2. Joseph went out from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his espoused wife. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished, she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. That's exactly what Micah said. Came to pass just perfect. And let me tell you here how beautiful it is. Mary and Joseph didn't live in Bethlehem. They lived in Nazareth, 90 miles away. And here she is pregnant, about to give birth, and they have to put her on a donkey and take her 90 miles to Bethlehem. So she is born exactly where God said she would be born. That Holy Bible is so precious and so beautiful. I marvel at it. And then we have Isaiah. Isaiah talks about the coming of the Lord more than all of the other prophets. And he writes, let's look at five ways that he tells us about the coming of Jesus. He says in Isaiah chapter 4, chapter 7, verse 14, Isaiah gives us his name. Now, this is 700 years before he comes. He gives his name. "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel." In Hebrew, Emmanuel means "with us is God," or "God is with us." And when he was born, there it is. They were told just as plain as day, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, because this is conceived in her, and you're going to have a child, and you're going to name him Jesus." Just as perfect as can be. Isaiah also identifies his earthly family in Isaiah 11, verses 1 and 2. "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." So here it is. He says, you're going to be born here. You're going to come from the stem of Jesse, that house of Jesse. And you're going to have wisdom and might and power and glory. And so here it is in the New Testament. Paul is at Antioch in Pisidia, and this is what he talks about. He says in Acts 13, verses 21 and 22, "Afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And then he listened to this, Paul says, "And when he had removed him," that is, taken Saul away, because he was rebelled against God, disobeyed God, and God set him aside. "And when God had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who shall fulfill all of my will." Just exactly like the prophet Isaiah said. Or look at Isaiah. He talks about about the virgin birth. He says it's going to be an astounding thing. He says in Isaiah 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Now shall call his name Jesus." And this is fulfilled then when you read in Luke chapter 1, 26 to 28. "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel said unto her, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." The virgin birth of Jesus Christ is an amazing fact, but the prophet said that it's going to happen 600 years before it ever happened. It's a miracle how this one, if I didn't have anything but the fulfilled prophecy in the Bible, I would know that the Bible is a supernatural book. It's the word of God. It comes from God. It had 40 different people writing it, but one author, and that author is God. And holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so God told them what to write. And that book is a perfect book, and it has no contradictions. And if you have contradictions because you haven't studied the Word of God, then that wonderful prophecy over and over, I could preach prophecy for a month. And every time, God hasn't missed a single time, right to the penny, right to the exact event has come to pass every time. Isaiah then gives us a glimpse of Jesus' greatness. He says in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, "His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Look at that description, will you? Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, glory to God. And one other prophecy that Isaiah gives, Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. And he tells us that this Jesus, this person coming, is going to rule the whole world. Listen to what he says, Isaiah 9. "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from hence forth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." The same prophecy was given by the angel Gabriel and declared to the astonished Mary when Gabriel says in Luke 1:32, "Well, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give him unto the throne his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Over and over and over and over, it's given this wonderful Jesus, and it's fulfilled every time. Where is he? Well, he's in the message of the Old Testament prophets, for one thing. Over and over again, Jesus is set forth in the message of God's prophets. That was the light of the Old Testament. That was the thing of the bright light through all those 2,000 years, that a Messiah is coming. Jesus is coming. The prophet spoke of it freely and openly. The Son of God is going to come and bring light into those who sat in darkness. And he's going to be the light of the world, Jesus Christ, this wonderful Savior. Where is he? Is he in your heart? Is he in your life? I pray that he is. I pray he's in your heart, because all of eternity depends upon it. My friend, listen to me. You're going to spend heaven, all of eternity in heaven or in hell, one of those two places. And you say, oh, I hope I'm picked to go to heaven. I hope I'm picked to go to hell. You know who picks that? You pick it. You choose it. And it's given unto us that opportunity. And so God knocks at the heart's door. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens the door, I will come in. I'll come into his heart and I'll dwell with him." You have to open that door. And you say, "I don't know how." You just simply say, "Dear Jesus, I'm a poor sinner. I ask you to forgive my sins. Come into my heart and wash away my sins. And I'll turn from my sins. I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus." And you do that. And if you do that, you write to us and we'll send you some literature. You write to the Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to sell, if you want to get that little film that about the heart of a shepherd, you just write that, and we'll send it to you. Send a gift if you can. And then we have a little Bible study we put out every month. And where this Bible study this month is, "For unto you is born a Savior." For free and postpaid, just ask a new song or ask for the Bible study. And need to have you help us, dear friends, as you give. We need to have, we're dependent upon you. We're dependent on God's people alone for our support. So let me give it again. I want to give it to the shortwave people. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now I want to pray for you. And in our prayer, we pray for the persecuted church in Sudan. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus, beautiful, wonderful Jesus, and he loves us, all the whole world. And I pray that multitudes will open their heart to you today. I pray for those who are on sick beds, those who are shut-ins, those who can't get about. I pray for those who have great sorrow today thrust upon them. Pray for the young people, dear Lord, and the decisions they have to make, and the precious children. Oh, may they open their hearts to you. And then the persecuted church in Sudan, Lord, we pray for them. And the day is going to come when you come back and you set things straight. Until then, may their faith be ever strong, ever faithful. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we hope that you'll pray for us. We hope that you'll write to us. Support us if you can. Remember, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit all of our books. Everything's on the level. And always remember this, God loves you. No matter what your sin is, he loves you. And the Christian Worship Hour loves you. Now, for almost 40 years, we've been preaching our head off, our hearts out. And I love you, and I want you to come to Jesus. And you can come. He's not willing that any should perish. And he's talking to you right now, and you can say, yes, Jesus. In your own ways, just tell him, I'm a sinner. And I'll turn from my sin, and I ask you to take away my sin, and I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. And then you tell somebody and write to us. And so we'll pray together, and we'll work together. And next week, we'll get together, and we're going to be talking about another sign of a coming Savior. So God bless you. God bless you, everyone, in Jesus' name.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.